White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 503.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! And welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com, and, of course, by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family. You know, you are our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, it's like there was a football season, and then there kind of wasn't. We suddenly got like Pac-12 games, but we lost, you know, most of the SEC. I'm very confused and frightened. Can you straighten things out for me?
Probably not, but we had a bunch of games canceled last week. You know, so far, everybody knock on wood at the same moment. There's only one game postponed for next weekend at this moment. So we'll see. And, you know,
it's not LSU again, is it?
No, it's A&M and Ole Miss, maybe.
Ooh.
So I think A&M is the one with the problem. So they're talking about potentially moving up. But under the new SEC rule that allows them to reschedule games with 1 week's notice, like reschedule games for Saturday, basically, they might move the Egg Bowl up to Saturday.
Well, see, that's why people were talking about maybe we should have played somebody else Saturday, like Alabama, you know, or something.
Well, and I
know
they didn't have that rule in place last week.
They just
made this up. So,
well, plus, do you really want to have like 4 days to prepare for a game of that magnitude? I know the other team wouldn't either, but I feel like we need more time to prepare in some ways than Alabama does. I don't know. I feel like maybe the solution might be to move the SEC championship game back a week. Didn't they make some kind of rule that other teams can play on the same day as the SEC championship game?
100%.
Wow, so that's
now
weird.
That you know that whatever the 12th was that in between week that now we're playing Mississippi State.
Right.
And then now if we had another cancellation, if we're not going to the SEC championship game, it could be made up that day. So some games will be played that day. But also, we're at a point where there are going to be games that just don't happen. But that's the point of the schedule we are at.
Too. Yeah. Is that the 19th is the SEC championship game?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, you're getting awfully close to Christmas at that point. So the next Saturday would be the day after Christmas, and that seems kind of ridiculous to try to have a...
No, they're not doing that.
Yeah, so...
Then it's also like NFL playoffs started to take over the Saturday, too.
Was the day after Christmas, and all through the conference, not a team was stirring, not even a louse in Tuscaloosa.
Nice.
Okay, well, so it just felt weird, didn't it? I mean, it's like I was having a hard enough time. We've talked about this. I was having a hard enough time persuading myself that this was actual football and not some kind of simulation like the, you know, racing simulations from earlier in the year. And then we go and don't even have, you know, but like two games, although at least one of them was somewhat entertaining. And now I'm having to convince myself all over again that there actually is football going on. It's just weird. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad they're doing something, but it's just unsatisfactory.
It is very weird to have a two-week break in the middle of an SEC schedule. I mean, it's probably happened before when we had a hurricane or something in the past, but...
It's also very weird to have an all-SEC schedule, too. I mean,
yeah,
there's that.
Absolutely.
The whole thing is just surreal and strange. And like I say, I guess it's better than not playing football, but I find it oddly unsatisfactory. And that has nothing to do with our record. I mean, I guess if we were 6-0, then I would be like 75%, yeah, I'm really invested in this season. But I would probably be 25%, oh, no, it's going to be the same thing that happened to the basketball team, you know? it just kind of stops, and we'll never know if they were, you know, really that good. So, yeah, I just don't know what to think. I'm just wrestling with it, John. I'm wrestling with them angels and them devils on my shoulder, John. And I'm just trying to figure it out, you know.
That's all you can do.
All you can do is wrestle with them angels and devils and grow up and become men and throw your pants in the lake. That's all you can do.
Somebody's got to.
Throw them pants in the lake, John. That's right. So there was a little silly season in the middle of this silly season.
Yes. Will Muschamp got fired yesterday.
That's what you get for beating Auburn, Muschamp.
That's clearly, what you get. That did not weigh heavily in his favor.
No. But I beat Auburn. Yeah, well.
take a number. So, yeah, they're paying him a bunch of money to go away. So, again, I don't think any of us are shocked that it didn't work out completely. So
I just don't know what South Carolina's thinking that, you know, they had Steve Spurrier for several years and got to the SEC championship game one time and got blown out by us. And they're thinking that they're just going to plug and play another coach and do that again. I mean, I realize
they're thinking that they're not competitive and they're losing ground in the East to a bunch of teams. So they got to try something.
They're South Carolina. What? I mean,
I agree.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not against them trying. It's not like he's been going 0-12 every year or anything, or 3-9, has he? I mean, maybe he has, and I just didn't notice. But I thought they've been plugging along, kind of mediocre, like they always
they
are.
They weren't great last year, but they've had a couple seasons where they were kind of, you know, 8-4-ish. In the last year, they were you know, maybe they went 6-6.
So. You go 8-4 every year, you start looking like Auburn. That's kind of been our the level we've found over the last several decades, to be honest, you know. I just feel like South Carolina's level is about 6-6, really. Good year, 7-5. Bad year, 5-7. Average, about 6-6.
That's fair.
So, yeah. Do you have anybody in mind for them, or do they have anybody in mind, or what's the buzz? I haven't heard anything as far as that.
Hugh Freeze.
He's not going to South Carolina. Surely not.
Why not?
Wouldn't, if you were Hugh Freeze and you knew you were the hot up and coming name, wouldn't
I think
you?
There's a lot of schools that wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
You think? Would we?
A lot.
What if Gus, like,
no way in heck would Auburn ever hire that guy?
We hired, well, I mean, it's not like it's the Baylor guy.
No, but I think Hugh Freeze, while on recruiting trips, you know, paid prostitutes and then lied about it to his bosses.
Okay, so I'd forgotten it was that serious.
I mean, it's in addition to getting the team on NCAA probation, right?
Okay. And that's true. That's true. All right, you're refreshing my memory now, because I was going to say we're heading toward Bobby Petrino territory now, and yes. I was just going to ask you. Which would be worse? This will help me. This is a legitimate question because I need you to help me understand. Which of them would be worse for us to hire if we were going to hire one of them?
You talking about Bobby Petrino or
Hugh Freeze?
Gosh, this has gone off the rails already.
Well, no, because I feel like I don't want anything to do with Bobby Petrino for his own personal reasons, yes. But also because I don't like his offense and I don't like his football coaching. Hugh Freeze, if we can get past some of the bad things, I think would be an upgrade for us.
I think he's a giant hypocrite, honestly.
Okay. So who would be worse, him or Petrino, for us to hire? Well, the fact that you're struggling with it helps me, too, because if it was clear, you would just say, blah, you know, whichever one.
To me, they're in the ballpark. Okay. Again, okay. So let's go back to candidates that South Carolina should hire.
Okay.
Clemson offensive coordinator Tony Elliott. Coastal Carolina is ranked in the top 25. They're in Charleston. They have a guy that does their head coach is a young guy that does a really fun, creative offense. There's a couple other people out there that have been mentioned for them. There's somebody else I'm forgetting. I think
they might want to take a look at Gus Malzahn.
They're not going to do that. But, you know, again, they Muschamp was, I think it clearly, you normally the standard, what's the standard procedure? You go the opposite direction, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know,
so, well, I mean, I guess their dream candidate is Brady, the former LSU guy.
Again, why would you go there if you're him?
Right. No, he's going to get an NFL head coaching job.
Ah, well.
So, I mean, I think the I'd love for the Falcons to take a shot at him and some of these other teams. So, you know, I think that's the kind of person. But I think they're going to think offensive guy after dealing with Muschamp.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But, hey, maybe they'll get Petrino.
No.
Just keep working through former Auburn coordinators. That'd be fine. Speaking of which, I saw that.
I'm sorry. The other guy that's the obvious candidate is Billy Napier, who's the head coach at Louisiana. Just Louisiana. It's Louisiana Lafayette, but it's Louisiana. They just call it Louisiana now.
The Cajuns. Who
was
the
Alabama wide receivers coach and is, you know, was a candidate at Mississippi State last year and stuff. So.
Right. Right. The I saw that our former offensive and defensive coordinators, Loeffler and Van Gorder, have ended up on the same team together, and it's bad, which is a shock.
Who could have seen that coming?
I know. It's stunning, shocking.
It is literally shocking that those two together were not a great combo and that team is regressing. It's like their athletic director had not watched football recently.
Clearly. Yeah, no, I know. Meanwhile, in the basketball world, because I can see I'm not going to get anything out of you in terms of you freeze, we got a big basketball player. We've got like two big time players lined up for 2021. Correct?
Yes. So Trey Alexander committed the other day. He's a 6'4" shooting guard out of Oklahoma for 2021. Committed along. So he's along with Jabari Smith. And, like, Jabari Smith is the number 5 player in the country. Trey Alexander is, like, the number 60 player in the country. He's a solid 4-star. Mm-hmm. I think he's, you know, one of the top shooting guards in the country. Like, it's an insane class to have just two guys and have those two guys come in. And Trey Alexander by himself would have been one of the highest recruits Auburn ever had in basketball going back forever. Until the last couple of years, and now it's like, oh, hum, another 4-star basketball commitment. So I think we are so spoiled.
We are lately. Yeah, no kidding.
People should be dancing in the streets after this. This guy is a stud, and he and Jabari Smith together, like if Hooper comes back next year with those guys, we are going to be tearing people up.
Well, help me out with the basketball timetable. So when does that mean they actually report and can play for Auburn? Not until next fall or what?
A year from now, those two guys will be here. So this fall, Sharif Cooper is the headliner.
Right.
He's the new point guard. He is the 5-star McDonald's All-American point guard that's coming in to play for us. And he's going to be, you know, a guy that's a great point guard, can distribute the ball, can shoot. And you put him on the team with all these young wings and forwards and stuff, and he's going to run the show and make stuff happen. So it's, you know, he, Jalen Williams. The other big signee is JT Thor, who's a power forward.
Going to have to get me a Thor sound effect now.
Yeah, yes, you are. But so those two guys that I just talked about, Jabari Smith, and the shooting guard are for a year from now.
Okay, right. So, see, now the trick now is that I think people need to bear in mind what we accomplished with the team 2 years ago. It's amazing to me how my family are so respectful and quiet all day and all night. But as soon as I come down here and start a show, Mira starts like letting elephants loose in our living room, apparently, and then screaming at them. It's every time. I don't understand it. I really don't. I just don't get it. Pete, we've got to remember that our basketball team that actually went to the Final Four and, of course, should have won the national championship, that team was not made up of 4- and 5-star McDonald All-Americans for the most part. Those were players, that was a combination, but the backbone of that team was players that had played together for multiple years, been together at Auburn for multiple years, and had grown into their roles and matured. And I'm I worry that we're trying to duplicate that success now by, instead of having hardworking players that can grow into their role over multiple years, we're bringing in these, you know, one and done, four-star, five-star guys. Now, don't construe that to me to think that I'm saying I don't want four and five-star players. Of course I want four and five-star players. I'm just saying that it's different. What we're doing now is the result. It's the outcome of the success we've had the last few years, but it's not the same as what we had the last few years. And so we can't expect the same formula, you know, because these players, we got to get them to stay. If we could bring if we could bring in four and five star players and then have them play together for 2, 3, 4 years, then I would feel really, 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 really good. I just worry that we're going to be a revolving door of four-star guys on their way to the NBA or the junior leagues, you know, pro leagues, and we're never going to have them around long enough to develop a chemistry that can replicate what happened 2 years ago. Is that? I mean, again, you say we're spoiled. That's exactly right. I'm spoiled in that I want that success again. And it feels like our success the first time is pushing us into a different, becoming a different team than the type of team that was successful. Does that make any sense at all?
It does, and it's fair, because it is going to be different. But it's also, I think, you know, having better players gives you a higher ceiling.
Yeah.
And I think that there could be years, you know, say a year from now with those guys coming in when – you know, those guys could come in as freshmen and they could leave, you know, one or both of them could leave after the first year, but we could be a Final Four team with those guys.
I just hope we can keep them around long enough for them to become a team. I just don't want to be an all-star team that has really great individuals but loses a lot because they never learn how to play together. And I know that if anybody can get them to, it's Bruce. There's no doubt. I have faith and confidence in Bruce Pearl, but I'd like to see a team similar to the one we had before come together.
I hear you, but I think it's going to be every season coming together as a team over the course of the season is what you're going to see.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the days of, you know, having a bunch of guys come in and be good players to stay 4 years and all play together for a long time is almost gone. I mean, without the guys leaving early, the transfer rate does that to you. So,
yeah. It's true. It is true. So we just need to be thankful for what we have and keep pushing forward and hope that one of these days it's enough. And hopefully we can have fans back in the arena, you know, in some kind of numbers. I hate some of these players are coming through and their entire college experience is going to be basically playing in an empty room. I assume that's how they're going to do it. I don't know. It just sucks. I feel bad for them. Let's see. There's some the only good thing that really came out of us being off another week is we're getting back some injured players. But I saw that I think it was KJ Britt that went ahead and just turned pro.
Positive about that?
Well, he accepted an invitation to the Senior Bowl.
Oh yeah, no, but that's after the season. No, that's just an honor that they give to good seniors during the year.
But
he's
not a senior, right? I mean, we were my point is he was going to come back next year, and now he's not. That's what I'm trying to say. I didn't say it very clearly, so let me try again. I thought he was coming back next year. Now I don't think he is. You don't go play in the Senior Bowl and then come back and play another year at your college.
You are correct. So, okay, yes. I thought you were saying he was going pro like today.
Well, no, he's just not going to play for Auburn anymore. He's done.
Well, I think he may come back before the end of the season. And play. I think he might be back for the Alabama game.
Is he? Okay, he's not the player that opted out for this season. He's the one that got injured. I'm confusing two of our linebackers, I think.
No, you're thinking about Chandler Wooten.
Yes, that's it. I was thinking it was Chandler Wooten that, okay, all right. So yeah, KJ's the one that got the hand injury or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got Seawoot and him and Britt confused. That's what happened. Okay. Well, that makes more sense then. All right. So he wasn't going to come back next year regardless.
I thought of this.
Right. No, he wasn't coming back next year regardless. This was his, this is his swan song. Okay. We might get Chandler Wooten back next year. We'll see what happens. Okay. Anybody else that we're thinking of that's going to be healthier? I guess just a lot of Nixon cuts.
Yeah. I mean, Shedrick Jackson, the wide receiver, is supposed to be back. And then the big freshman tight end that hasn't played this year, it's been hurt.
Yes.
Brendan Frazier, the big tall freshman tight end, is supposed to play. So it'll be interesting to see if they use him.
Yeah, I liked him in The Mummy.
he's supposed to be a really good receiver, and he's 6'7". So
between him and the other tight end, my gosh.
That's what I'm saying. I like you put him and Pegues out there. And
ooh, Lord help. Yeah, you put them out on the football, on the basketball team as like four power forwards. Man. Yes. Well, I guess actually on the basketball team, 6'7" isn't all that much. Huh? That's just average.
Yeah, just normal.
That's crazy. What about the Iron Bowl? We have a time?
Yep, CBS, 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern.
There it is. Poor Vanderbilt. I really thought they were going to get their chance to be the 2:30 game. I bet they've never been the 2:30 CBS game ever, have they?
No, they have. I think that somebody went through this week because somebody else had the same discussion in our podcast this week.
Oh, that's funny.
Shut down full cast. They did the same thing, and then they looked it up, and they were actually like 3 years ago.
Huh.
They started 4-0, and then they played Alabama in the CBS game and lost like 56-0.
There you go. Couldn't have seen that coming, could we, huh? Yeah. Well, now I just want to point out, we had this conversation last week, and I was just following up on it. So we led the way on the Vanderbilt at the 2:30 time slot conversation. That is, we pioneered that whole meme right there. So what do you think? I mean, that's good, right? We're good with that. It's in Tuscaloosa and 2:30, and they're comfortable in that time slot. And that's the time slot we won in last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, it's not a night game. And it was never going to be the new game, so
no,
it's fine.
So we pushed the Pirate and his dogs to the end of the season, and we're playing Tennessee. It does not feel like Tennessee game week, does it? It just doesn't feel. I haven't quite wrapped my mind around the alleged Tennessee game. I don't even know if this is a home game.
It's a home game, and it's a night home game.
Ooh, okay. All right. I like it. Didn't we just play them in Auburn last time, though?
Yeah, but it was 2018.
Yeah.
Played them in Auburn. But that's, again, this is because this is one of the extra, like, added SEC games.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we've played them in Auburn a lot more lately than we've played them in Knoxville, just through some weird quirks, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. We haven't played them, honestly, a whole lot lately, but just every now and then, which is a shame. So, yeah, that 2018 game, remind us all, if we can stand it, how that played out and why we need to get them back.
Well, I mean, Auburn was a much better team. It was early. I think it was Pruitt's first year, and they were really struggling. And Auburn, you know, was, again, we were coming, it was 2018, so it was, you know, Stidham's second year.
Right.
Carryon was gone. We weren't as good running the ball, but we were, you know, still pretty good.
Yeah.
And Stidham had his worst day as an Auburn player in that game, threw multiple interceptions. And their quarterback, Gontano, kept throwing this back shoulder fade to these big, tall receivers and just killed us with it over and over.
We couldn't stop them. And I feel like we also got passing. I get this in the LSU game around that time mixed up, but I feel like in both of them we kept getting passed to death and we kept getting called for pass interference.
Yeah, there was some of that in this game because, again, it was, you know, our guys were all over him and not letting him get past us, and then they would just stop and he would hit him perfectly in the back shoulder. I mean, that was Garantano's best day as a quarterback, and he's never come close to it since then. And so it really was a game that we had no business losing.
Yeah. Sounds familiar.
Auburn was, you know, Stidham played very poorly, and Auburn was, you know, foolishly predictable on offense in that game.
So, foolishly predictable. Again, what a great description for Auburn football the last few years. Foolishly predictable.
This was the end of, this was 2018, so this was kind of the end of, you know, the Gus and what's his name marriage's offensive coordinator.
Chip
Lindsey.
Yes.
And so that this was kind of the, you know, one of the breaking points there for that relationship, I think, especially. And it was, Auburn was a better team. It was at home. I think it was a noon game. And we just had no business losing. We really, Tennessee had struggled and had not played well, and we allowed them to hang around and have success and gain confidence, and they kind of stole it. So we owe them big revenge for that game. And this good, we get this Tennessee team at home. We play them in Auburn at night, and they are not a good football team.
And their quarterback, Harold and Kumar go to Guantanamo, he's in his like ninth season, right? It feels like.
He does feel like he's been there a long time. And shock me if you've heard this one before, but Jeremy Pruitt's under fire from their fans for lack of quarterback recruiting and development.
As Guantanamo said to his previous coach at Tennessee, Johnny Majors, coach, I don't have anything beyond that. I just wanted to say he played for Johnny Majors. How good are they? They're not good then? I mean, again, this is one of those teams that, like, at the beginning of the season, we thought they were pretty good. Their offensive and defensive lines look pretty stout, better than ours, allegedly, at the beginning of the season. What's happened to them?
Well, a couple things. One is the biggest thing, I think, is their quarterback play is terrible, okay? He has been really bad, and it's a problem. So, additionally, like, they thought they'd be great on the line of scrimmage and able to run on everybody and good on the defensive line, and they've been bad on the defensive line and not great at running the ball. And the biggest thing is they don't have any great receivers, any real difference makers there, and their quarterback play is really pretty the worst in the SEC. They're the worst third down team in the SEC on offense. They create the least big plays of any team in the SEC. Vanderbilt creates more big plays than that. So a lot of the stuff with them, it was kind of an illusion. So, again, they did the Tennessee thing where they started out terribly last year. Remember this, a year ago, they lost to Georgia State at BYU in their first two games.
Oh, yeah.
And then it played okay in the middle, and then they won a bunch of games down the stretch against weaker teams in the East, right?
Yep,
and
that's what they do.
Then they won a bowl game against a mediocre Big Ten team, and then boom, everybody's back on the bandwagon.
Back on the bandwagon.
Like five or six in a row, they win two games to start this year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they beat South Carolina in a close game and Missouri. And at that point, they gave Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Wood, 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 wood. Wood, 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 wood. I don't have a sound effect for that, but that's...
Warning.
That,
yeah. Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger, danger. Oh, no. I guess we could settle for... Because it is kind of Twilight Zone-ish, isn't it?
It is. So they did that, and then they came out and they played okay for a few minutes against Georgia, and then they ended up losing like 44-21. And then they got destroyed by Kentucky, and then they got destroyed by Alabama. And then last week they were beating Arkansas 13-0 and lost 24-13.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the common denominator among athletic directors who award massive contract extensions to coaches after they win one or two games, you know what the common denominator is?
What is it?
Smoke weed every day.
It's got to be, man. It's got to be. Got to be. So, all right. Well, so what do we need to know about Auburn going up against Tennessee otherwise? Just general, like apparently their offense is disappointing. Their quarterback play is bad. Their receivers aren't anything special. The defensive line is not good. I'm not hearing a lot of reasons why we should lose this game, but then I didn't think we'd lose to South Carolina either. So what do you think?
It's fair. So, again, they're going to try to do, what Georgia, South Carolina did. They have a lot of talented guys in the offensive line. They have a couple of highly recruited talented running backs. They're going to line up and run the ball right at us. Now, again, because their receivers and their quarterback don't scare us, I feel like we can really commit to stopping the run. Unlike kind of the Ole Miss game or the LSU game, even where we were very worried about the potential of some of their receivers, them throwing the ball. I'm not particularly scared of the Tennessee receivers or quarterback. They may have taken, you know, they have, you know, a young, a true freshman quarterback. They may have taken the off time and given him all the first team reps so they could throw him in the fire here, which, again, another brand new starter starting against us. If they do that, I'll feel like I did in the LSU game. We, again, and it doesn't matter if it's him or Garantano. We stop the run, we're going to win this game. You know, defensively, they have some good talented players, but they're not great in anything. They have a pretty good pass rush, but they're not great in the secondary. Their special teams are just okay.
So I guess I should feel confident, and yet somehow, strangely, I don't.
It's fair. Again, I would say there's, to me, this is the level I would say they're roughly as good as Mississippi State.
Ooh, gosh. Wow. Okay. Do you think that, what's your gut feeling about, because I know we're not going to know until Saturday, but what's your gut feeling about having the 2 weeks off? Is that, I mean, you know, having the 1 week off after a big win was probably good, kind of settle everybody down, not be, you know, running sky high and trip up. Is 2 weeks kind of setting us back again or something? Or what do you think?
You worry about continuity and you know, that we'll be as crisp. I also worry that, again, we didn't play a game last week for a reason. Yeah. And we may get up there Saturday night and there may be some guys who can't play. That's another factor. So, you know, I like to think that, you know, Gus has traditionally been pretty good on the off weeks. I think he knows how to spend that time well. And I think they probably worked on the things that we need to work on so we can come out and hit the ground running on Saturday night. Yeah.
Well, I feel okay about it. I just don't feel as good as I would like to feel about it. So we'll just – this. I'm calling this a lean Auburn, but I'm not, like,
Did you watch the Tennessee-Arkansas game?
Parts of it. I didn't get to see the whole thing, but I did watch part of it, yeah.
Again, they couldn't move the ball consistently on Arkansas's defense, and they changed quarterbacks a few times. They kind of continued to yank Garantano around. Mm. And defensively, you know, Arkansas ran the ball on them.
Well, Arkansas has been running the ball on everybody pretty well.
I know.
They've really been the surprise story of the SEC so far, honestly. We had them down as 0-10.
I know. I give Pittman and his staff all the credit. He hired two great coordinators, and they've made a big difference.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much difference the right assistant coaches and the right player here and there, that quarterback. I mean, you know, just like 2012 versus 2013 Auburn, makes a big difference.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's thank the folks that bring you this scintillating and exciting program and others like it. We did just have our 500th episode of any of our shows, at least the shows that I produce. I know we do a few that Jared produces for the Bond show and all that. But, and so I didn't really count those, but we had our 500th episode. It's in our feed. It's in the On Her Majesty's Secret podcast feed as of today. It's in the White Rocket feed. So you really couldn't miss that episode. It's also on YouTube. It's in four different places right now. Just us, all of the network hosts together chatting and talking about it. And that was kind of fun. But now we're on into our second half millennium of shows, which is pretty cool. And we do these shows with your support. We don't have advertising or anything. We do it via the support of our patrons, our listeners who decide they want to contribute. And somebody raised an interesting question. They weren't specifically addressing me the other day, but somebody on Twitter was saying, I don't really understand people wanting to join Patreon and do that. And I said, well, I think speaking for me, we put a lot of work into our shows. We try to bring, you know, entertainment and information, enlightenment and fun to our listeners in a variety of different shows, from this show, the Auburn show, to James Bond, to our other shows and racing and movies and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we put a lot of effort and work into it. And it's just really cool that our, you know, that many of our listeners try to help ease that burden of helping us to cover the expenses that go with doing that. And so we really appreciate our patrons. They mean everything to us, and we try to find things to get to pay them back. Although I still firmly believe that most of our patrons, if not almost all of them, are patrons because they want to, they just want to help the show stay on the air. Anything else is just kind of a cherry on top, you know? But we try to give them cherries from time to time. And right now it's the power poll, the patron power poll, which John will do in just a minute. But let me first thank the folks that that make the show possible, which we do every week. And just to show our appreciation, you can be named along with these folks if you want to by going to www.auwishbone.com and click on the big orange button that says Become a Patron and join the family. Our current patrons include Carl Von Drunker. He's back. Woo! Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, and Bart Lindsay, along with Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Logan Chilton, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, Ann Kanjian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, then there's Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Alex Wynn, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, and Colby Butler. And then we also have Danny Flack, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kanoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Shane Bailey, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Todd Gray, Tony Perry, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Brandon Sisson, Brandon Smith, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, James Taylor, Jason Albrick, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, we're almost to the end, Mike Vigicana, Nicholas Craig, Patrick Williams, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, and finally, Robert O. Sammons, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, that's the truth, Ruth, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brent Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. You can join their ranks by going to www.auwishbone.com. Woohoo! And now we have the SEC Power Poll that John collects from our patrons every week. So take it away, John.
All right, at the bottom, Alun, Vanderbilt.
Shocking.
Shocking. Right above them, by kind of its own terrible tier, Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Then kind of the bad group, South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky.
Okay, wow.
Tennessee and LSU next to each other.
All right. Interesting.
Then Ole Miss at Arkansas next to each other.
Interesting. Wow.
Then Auburn and Georgia basically tied in a tier.
Okay.
Then they're both 4-2.
Yeah.
Then true. Texas A&M, then Florida, then Alabama.
Well, as I voted, I had Alabama, then Texas A&M, then Florida, then Georgia, then Auburn, if I recall correctly. So
you would switch A&M and Florida based on the outcome of that game?
Well, A&M beat Florida, didn't they?
They did.
There you go. That was easy. Wish they were all that easy. that's simple.
It was a close game, though, in College Station.
It was, but you got to win those. What do you think about Mullen?
I think he's a jerk as a human being.
So you try not to?
No, I mean, I think he's a jerk as a human being, but I think he's a good offensive coach.
Yeah.
And I think that guy Trask, I really underrated him. I think he's a really good quarterback.
He's doing a Joe Burrow, not quite, but you know what I mean? Like one year of pretty good and then another year of good grief. Where'd this come from? Same exact thing that Burrow did.
Mm-hmm.
Burrow was decent in 18, and then 19 he just blew up, and it's the same thing here. Though not quite, I don't think, the yards, but he does have a lot of touchdowns.
He does, and he has very few interceptions and a high completion percentage. He's really good. Yeah. And then they have great, you know, Pitts and Tony and those guys are really good, the receivers, and they make plays. So, you know, I think I can't wait to see them play Alabama. I think it's going to be really fun. They're clearly, you know, they're a dramatically worse than they were on defense a year ago, and it doesn't matter. And I think they're legitimately one of the top six or seven teams in the country.
If they do end up playing Alabama in the SEC championship game, that is going to be one of those really weird championship games where it's like Auburn, Missouri or something, I'm afraid. Just lighting it up. Not a lot of defense.
I think you're right, but it'll be entertaining to watch.
It will be. It will be, for sure, yeah. That's just the world we're in right now. Okay, well, that's cool. Appreciate the power poll by all our patrons. You guys, appreciate it. And as always, if you don't get the email from John, that's not John's fault. It means that we got a patron, and I didn't let John know to add you to the list. So him or her to the list. So just shoot me an email or to auwishbone@gmail.com, and we'll get you hooked up. If you are a patron and you're not participating and you want to, if you're a patron and you don't want to, don't worry about it. We don't have an Eagle update because we didn't play anybody this week, but we'll have one. I'm looking forward to what Jerry comes up with next week from our superhero comparison and Eagle update. I guess in that case, we need to go ahead and head over to Parliament.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. And what do we got in the mailbag this week?
All right. First question is from Trey Bamberg, who the subject matter of his question is listener questions. Dun, dun, dun.
Yay, Mira.
And he says, John Van. Hello, John Van, longtime listener of the show. It does it seem to you that both of our coordinators, Morris and Steele, have become more unpredictable on third down as the season has progressed? He says, it seems to me that early in the year, you could bank on the offense forcing the ball to Seth or Nick's getting sacked trying to force the ball to Seth on third down. Recent games has looked a lot more kind of man-beating concepts using Stove, Capers, and Seth on third down and in the red zone. Similarly, early in the season, Steele was set on a lot of blitzes up the middle and man coverage on third down, which often got our players burned in one-on-one coverage, especially against Ole Miss and LSU. I saw a lot more zone coverage, seemed to confuse the opposing offense and cause them to stop and get turnovers. Love to hear your thoughts and love the show. Thanks, Trey Bamberg.
I'm going to throw that one to you because I ain't smart enough to figure all that out. But I do agree, though, that, yeah, on both sides of the ball, things have been more effective. I just am never quite sure how much of it is what we're doing and how much of it is who we're playing, you know?
I think we've definitely become more unpredictable on third down, mixing up things. I think, I mean, again, the defensive stuff he's talking about, our game plan against Ole Miss and LSU was to play a lot more zone than we normally do. And we'll do the same thing with playing Mississippi State. Play zone, keep it in front of us, tackle. Against a team like Tennessee, we're not scared of their receivers. We'll play a lot more man. Mm-hmm. And that'll free up the guys to come play the run more and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So on offense, he's 100% right, though. Or you remember this, or in the season, every single third down, it was Bo locking on to Where's Seth.
Oh, Lord, yes.
The other team knew it. So, I think now we're much more unpredictable. He's got other options on third down. He's got, Seth being used as a decoy to pull the defense away from other players to get them open. And he's got, a lot of plays, a kind of run pass option plays where the other option is Bo keeping it and having a wide open lane to run to the outside for the first down. So, I think that's there and I think it's working. And I think Seth and Bo are not as, they're still getting plenty of connections, as plenty of big plays, but Bo's not as kind of laser focused on him. And that's made the whole offense better.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good to have him, but you don't want everything to be him because it's just foolishly predictable, as you said a little while ago. And I just always like to write down when one of us says something that sounds like a good title for the episode. So I have it on my notepad now. Foolishly predictable. I was hoping that would come up again, and it did. So now I feel better about using it as the title this week.
All right.
Not so foolishly predictable. Yeah, what's up next?
Our next question is from Samuel Salvatore, and he says, hello, guys, at War Eagle. And he says, first, something we just talked about is, I think it's time to heighten up the Kyle Trask for Heisman talk, yes or no?
Well, I would have said no, except, it's one of those things like with Burrow where you look at it and you go, him, really? And then you go, yeah, I guess it is kind of him, really, yeah.
I mean, it has to be, he has to be there.
Yeah.
I think Justin Fields will probably be there at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's
He's
right.
having a great season. And maybe Mac Jones or – you know, the running back at Alabama. You know, I think the Clemson quarterback being hurt has taken him out, and their running back, you know, did not have a great game against Notre Dame. And nobody in the Big 12 has kind of leapt out, and in the Pac 12 hasn't played enough games really. So
I think he may.
You know, it's probably him and Justin Fields as the front runners.
For right now, for sure, yeah. And the question is, will the season go long enough beyond this for anybody else to really get into the fight, you know? Certainly the Pac-12 is at a huge disadvantage there because, you know, they're just now starting to play. It's hard for it's going to be hard for a Pac-12 player to play makeup, you know, catch up in the minds of the voters, I would think, because they're coming in late to the party.
No, I think you're right. The ship may have sailed by the time one of those guys has a big game.
Right.
All right. And then his other question is Lane Kiffin the best cheerleader coach in the SEC after his notebook is tossed and the Ole Miss touchdowns? I don't know if you saw that, but on the replay of some of the Ole Miss scores, you could see Lane Kiffin throw his notebook like up in 20 feet up in the air in the camera shot.
No.
Like these long touchdown passes against South Carolina. So it was pretty funny.
I did not see that, but that's pretty good, yeah.
All right, and then one more question. John Otsuki asked a question. This is a question for the podcast. He says, have you considered making a Discord channel for Patreon subscribers? It'd be pretty cool to have a sort of a private area for Wishbone for people to talk about college football, Auburn, or whatever. He says, I know a few other Patreon groups do this. I was wondering what y'all thought.
I just don't know enough about it. I mean, I know it's a gamer-related thing, and I've just never been much of a gamer, so I'm just kind of in the dark about it completely. It's
sure.
Like,
so,
go ahead.
It's like basically a chat forum where you make private groups or whatever. So, you know, we could think about it. If that's something people wanted to do, let us know, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, the only hesitation I have is that when you get into setting up, it's the same reason I've never set up just like a chat room, like I used to have, like I have on the on my Avengers website that I never go anymore. It's because when you set up a chat thing, it becomes so time demanding. You know, you kind of feel like you have to be there every so often for it to be legitimately your thing. You know, meaning you or me. And I don't know that I have. I try to basically Twitter is where I spend most of my Auburn football talking time, I guess. And so,
sure.
But I mean, you know, if it's something that the patrons really wanted to have us have like a, what do they call it? The bunker or something, you know, something like that, I guess. Is the Discord thing like a text chat thing, like a message board, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the thing that's like, kind of like YouTube for gamers and stuff?
Twitch.
Yeah, I guess that's the one I'm thinking about. Okay, I just really am kind of in the dark about all this. I try to stay up with, you know, the latest thing, but some things just because if it's game related and gamer related, it just goes right over my head. I just don't have an oar in that stream, you know. So I just don't know.
It's fair.
Okay.
Again, I play lots of games, but I don't ever use Twitch or see anything on it. So
I'm not denigrating them at all, and I'm up for whatever. I would want to feel like I had the time to commit to it to make it worthwhile and worth people's time. I don't want to ask people to spend time on something when, you know, I can't contribute enough to it. So we'll just have to see. We'll look into it. It's interesting. It's intriguing.
Yeah.
We do have a YouTube channel that we occasionally do stuff.
And again, before the end of the season, we might do another live show or something fun. We'll see.
Yeah, it's fun during basketball season when it's kind of like, you know, Sunday afternoon, just jump on and celebrate or something. And I guess if we win the Iron Bowl, we can do it like we did last year, so...
That was fun.
It was.
All right. That's it for listener questions.
All right. All right. I guess our last stop here is to hop on board the B-52.
Let's take a trip around the FTC. Without wings,
without wings. And I say you.
All right. Well, we only had three games on Saturday, and it felt like one, really, because... Arkansas hung in there for a little while, but Florida's just got too many guns, don't they?
Yeah, too much firepower.
And I thought Arkansas could give them a little something, and they did for a while, but it just was, they, you just couldn't. It's kind of like playing It's kind of like in those games that Cam played for us in 2010, where I said you got to keep scoring touchdowns because if you bring a knife to this gunfight just one time, you know, you don't hold serve, then that's it. And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah. I think Arkansas probably looked at it and go, man, we went and scored 35. We ought to be in the game. It got almost doubled. So.
Yeah, not so good. I know I love to always point out that Arkansas scored like 48 or 49 on us that year and then looked up, we were in the 60s or whatever. Ole Miss South Carolina actually was the most entertaining game of the day for me. I didn't even bother to watch Kentucky Vanderbilt, and seeing the score 38-35, I'm in a way wish I kind of had watched it, but I just didn't imagine it would be anything.
No. You're
better off not.
Ole Miss South Carolina was semi entertaining, but
it was close until the fourth quarter. Yeah. I mean that it went back and forth in the fourth quarter. South Carolina had the lead a couple of times. I feel like.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss just kind of pulled away late, got a couple of stops on defense and kept scoring. But up until then, it was a back-and-forth tennis match, and that was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun.
So that was like the C-list game and two F-list games, really, but it was all we had to watch. This week, Florida at Vanderbilt, so I'm not even going to waste time of my life on that one. I'm going to go ahead and assume Florida at Vanderbilt, no less, will be
the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
And if it's not, then I don't understand the world. We got LSU at Arkansas. That's going to be fun because I'll go ahead and do it. Arkansas keeps being the one that I go to, so I'm going to lock them up.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
Arkansas, baby. It's at the pigsty. It's at the pig pen. And LSU's coming in there reeling.
The
LSU fighting COVIDs are coming in, fighting viruses, and the fighting antibodies of LSU. And I just feel like Arkansas has a good chance there. Kentucky at Alabama. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Mississippi State at Georgia. Does Mississippi State have a, not a puncher's chance, but like a guy with six BB guns chance?
I just can't see it. Their offense is, you know, I'm skeptical they could score points.
How many interceptions is Mississippi State going to throw to Georgia?
I'm going to put the over-under at 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5. That's a good number. Because I think it could be 4.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it could be 7. It could be. And Missouri at Khaki Lackey. Who's going to be the coach for the Yellow Sauce?
I don't think it's been finalized. It may be Bobo.
Oh, God.
Which, again, in a couple weeks, they play Georgia, so it would be Bobo.
I know that one day the day is coming that Auburn plays a game against Rhett Lashley coach team. That day is coming. I don't know when it's going to be, but there will be a day when Auburn plays a game against a Rhett Lashley coach, either as offensive coordinator or head coach. That day is coming.
Yep.
And this would be the same kind of thing for Georgia because he is kind of the Rhett Lashley. Well, Lashley didn't play for us, but God, he might as well have, considering, you know, he was like 13 years old when Gus made him the offensive coordinator, so he might as well have played for us. And the A&M Ole Miss game had the potential to be the most entertaining game of the day, didn't it?
Yeah, that was the CBS game, and it got postponed. That's 2 weeks in a row CBS lost.
Oh, no. All right. Well, so which one of the – and then we got Auburn at Tennessee at 6:30?
Yeah.
Central? All right, ESPN. So which one of those games, other than ours, are you most intrigued by and going to tune in?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Not Kentucky at Alabama.
No.
Clubbing baby seals.
Kind of. It is.
I feel like Mississippi State and Georgia could be the same. I might watch that one for a few minutes because we're going to play Mississippi State again. But unless something fluky happens, that game is going to be 30-6 or something. So
you don't – you don't think that Mississippi State
and March Madness, let's shock the world.
Well, it ain't March Madness, Charles. It's a football game, so no, I don't think so.
I don't think so. So maybe LSU at Arkansas, just because, you know, see what happens with those games. And Missouri at South Carolina. I mean, honestly, there's a couple other games this weekend that I'm kind of interested in. If I could throw out some non-SEC games.
Yeah.
In the early time slot, Indiana plays at Ohio State. In the top 10, Indiana.
Windiana.
At Ohio State. That's going to be really fun. Please really clap. Exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a friend and a colleague on campus that's an Indiana guy, and he's all excited for sure.
They're really good.
Yeah, once in a blue moon. Once in a plaid moon. Yeah.
So, and then in the middle of the afternoon time slot, it's, you know, I mean, Kansas State, Iowa State's on, Wisconsin, Northwestern, that kind of thing.
It's fake football. Fake football, I don't get it. I'll probably watch LSU Arkansas, assuming it's not on at the exact same time as our game.
It is
just
not.
Because Arkansas this year has been my go-to team. When every game looks like a mismatch, like Florida, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia, Mississippi State, when every game looks like a mismatch, Arkansas has been my little engine that kept it from being a mismatch. And honestly, I almost have Arkansas favored in this game.
Vegas might have Arkansas favored in this game.
I would think. I mean, LSU has not been good. So, all right. Well, that was fun. Any last thoughts before we wrap things up for our foolishly predictable episode?
We owe Tennessee that 2018 game, and yeah, we came out of the LSU game feeling really good about ourselves and this team, and we need to hit the ground running and not let them have any hope or oxygen in this game. We need to jump on them with both feet and run away.
That's it. Keep the hammer down, and then when it's over,
we gotta get better at celebrating.
That's right. That is what we got to do. That is what we got to do, because I think we've gotten better at it. I think we have proven this year at times that when we can get a team down, we can kind of put them away and not fiddle around and let them come back. And that's good. That's been very good. I've been happy with that this year. So,
yep.
All right, beat the Vols. Go Auburn. Beat Tennessee. Beat the Big Orange. Nothing sucks like a Big Orange. All right, John. Our time is up. We thank you for your loyalty, John.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.